Hello and thank you for tuning in. We're excited to share a powerful and transformative message with you, brought to you by the Transformers Global Leadership Center. Our vision is focused on raising a new generation of Christian leaders who are called to bring about personal, national, and global transformation. Whether you're looking to deepen your faith, grow as a leader, or make an impact in your community, this message is designed to inspire and equip you to fulfill God's calling on your life. And here's the best part. You can download and listen to all our messages online. Simply visit www.transformersglobal.org and gain access to this life-changing content. You'll find practical insights and spiritual guidance that can help you step into your God-given purpose. Thank you for being part of this movement. Together, we can make a difference in the world. We look forward to walking this path with you.
And I would like to encourage you, if you have missed this conversation so far, if you have not, if today is just the first time you are joining us, I will encourage you to go to our website, transformersglobal.org. You are going to see the previous conversations we've had and also the two sessions we had before today. It's also available online. So I want to encourage you to go access it, listen to it. It's going to be a great blessing in your life. One of the first things we established when I introduced this conversation is that poverty is not the absence of cash. A poor person is not someone that lacks cash, but a poor person is someone that lacks value. Okay, so each time you find yourself poor, each time you find yourself poor in quotes, without cash, okay, you look into your bank account, you look into your pocket, and you are not able to see financial value to the extent that you would want it, okay? Maybe you are seeing it, but you always find yourself struggling for not enough. You are not able to meet your need. You are not able to meet your financial needs, okay? One of the things we wanted you to take away from the session from last week is that a poor person is not someone who lacks cash, but a poor person is someone who lacks value. Value is what is crucial in attracting wealth into your life. We also try to redefine wealth as value, okay? And we said that even when you go to environments where you have a deep issue of inflation, okay, so you find out, for instance, in Nigeria and many parts of the world where there is an inflation. Inflation only affects people with cash. Inflation does not affect people who control commodity. So if somebody is selling a bag of rice, what happens is that if there's an inflation, you say there is an increase in price of bag of rice from 50,000 to 100,000. They just increase their money, sell the value, and say get cash. So, but the person who kept cash at home, who was hoping to buy a bag of rice, 50,000 naira, we have to go to market and buy it for 100,000, and they are going to lose money. So inflation affects people who deal with cash more than people who deal with value. And the goal of God, the goal of wealth in God's eyes is that we are not people who only trade with money. We are people who trade with value. We are producers of value. We are creators of value. So God expects us to create with value just like he also is a creator. So we established that principle. And last week, I taught you guys what I call the business value process. What I'm teaching today is what I was supposed to teach last week, but we had to carry it over because I felt during the meeting that there was need for us to understand the value creation process. I won't be able to go into that. I mean, we shared a lot for almost an hour. And I will encourage you, if you missed that session, go to our website, you know, download Becoming God's Entrepreneur Part 2. And we shared a lot about the business value process. Okay. Today, I want to introduce to you the second principle that I believe that makes people poor. Okay. It's also a second aspect of what God wants us to do. Most times, whenever we pray, as Christians, when we ask God for something. So for instance, you find out that you don't have money, and then you ask God for blessing, you ask God for promotion, you ask God for, you know, means to earn a living. Okay. What happens is that God will always introduce us to process. The way we think God answers prayer is different from the way God answers prayer. Most times we just want something miraculous to happen. You know, you just want, maybe you are going on the street. I mean, you go to church, you hear testimonies like that. I met somebody I never knew from somewhere, and the person invested in my business. Brethren, praise the Lord. Yeah, why it happens, why it is powerful, that is not God's way of doing things. That is not, miracle is not the plan. The plan is processes. So when we lack processes, when we lack the understanding that each time you talk to God and ask God for help, what he does is to introduce processes in your life, you find it difficult to create value or to become a person of value. When I was preparing for this meeting, I looked up business data for Nigeria, and one of the things I discovered is that approximately 80% of small businesses, small and medium-sized businesses in Nigeria fail within the first 5 years, okay? And this is something I've always known. Of course, I've taught business principles for many years now, okay? And it's a case study I've always known, but I just wanted to know whether things have changed, whether things have improved, and to be honest with you, things actually became worse, okay? And I also went further to investigate what is the root causes of those failures, okay? If I ask you guys to drop in the chat, okay, maybe let me quickly do it. Just quickly drop in the chat. What do you think are the main causes of business failure in Nigeria? And just drop it in the chat. Lack of accountability, lack of understanding of how business runs, inability to build capacity, lack of know-how, people don't think long-term. Awesome. I'm speaking to the right people. Awesome. Many people will tell you it's because lack of planning. Yeah, lack of planning. Awesome. Many people we always associate. I know I've spoken to people. Well, I think I'm speaking to a very powerful group tonight. Okay. And many people always tell you that the environment, Nigerian environment, is so bad, that the reason businesses are struggling is because government decisions, this one, that one. And I was shocked. Okay. One of the things he said is three main reasons why businesses fail in Nigeria. The first one is founder inexperience. He said founder inexperience. The second one is poor or weak management or leadership skill. Okay, and then the last one is inadequate structure, systems, or processes. Okay, so you find out that they didn't even mention money. People will tell you the reason they are struggling in business is because they need money. Nobody's mentioning money. If I ask anybody here, why are you not starting your own business? They will always tell you, where is the money to start the business? Okay, so, but you see that nobody is even talking about money here. Nobody is talking about how much is needed to start the business. Nobody is talking about the inefficiency of government. Nobody is even talking about government policies or the inability for the government to make the environment conducive for businesses. The three main causes of business failure is associated with the individual who is starting the business. And that is what is introducing me to today's topic. Today's topic, one of the things I want us to discuss is the issue of personal leadership and management. Personal leadership and management, okay? People are poor, not necessarily because of their location or political instability or certain disadvantages they have in life. No, people are poor simply because they lack capacity to manage themselves and capacity for personal leadership. Okay, one of the things I know in some of the trainings I ran, you know, so many years ago is that, okay, you find somebody who is working in a bank, okay, everything that has to do with leadership and management of that bank is taught by another person. So you just go to work in the morning, and then you go to your table, you do whatever you need to do, and then you go home. And then suddenly you say, I need to start my own business. Okay, I feel I've figured it out. I feel I understand it. And then you go, you start a business, and the business fails. Because you don't understand that part of the reason why you thought you were very successful working under a person is that 80% of the decision that is making that business to be successful was never done by you in the first place. You know, you also find it where people are working with somebody, they feel, oh, I think I know it, or I think I understand it, let me go and do it. But you understand that the character that is required, the capacity that is required for you to achieve what you felt you already know that you can achieve was not even there in the first place. And many people are struggling in life, not because they don't have opportunity, not because they lack money, not because that the things that are required for them to be successful are not there, but simply because they can't manage themselves. Simply because they don't understand personal leadership. You know, and it becomes a very big problem. When I went to South Africa, I had an experience. I came into the environment, I felt I couldn't start a business. I felt, you know, I didn't know anybody. You know, I came into Pretoria carrying my bag. You know, the first night, I couldn't even get a hotel to sleep in. It was in someone's cyber cafe that I had to sleep in the night. You know, it's to tell you that I knew nobody. I just came into the land with my bag. And then the next thing is that I went online, I started looking for a job. I've always believed that, you know, that you need to do something to earn a living. You need to, you know, work hard. It's a principle that, you know, has driven my life since I can remember, since I was young, you know. Then finally, I got a job. It was more like a sales job, okay? The sales job is like people who market products. So they carry us in a vehicle. We go to maybe an open space. We set up table. Then we start. I think what we were marketing then was like a car wash liquid, okay? And let me also say this, that one of the reasons why I did that is I have a principle that it doesn't matter how you start, no matter how small you start. I even believe that place me in any organization is a personal belief I have. If you place me in any organization, no matter how small my position is in that organization, if you give me time, I must climb. You know, I have it as a personal understanding. And what happened was that when I joined them to be doing the sales, the goal was not to just stay and be doing sales. I knew I was going to master whatever they were doing, and I was going to grow and become, you know, very relevant in the organization. And one day we went to the, I think, one of the filling stations while we were marketing. One of the ladies marketing with us came to me and told me that this job doesn't fit me, I look too sophisticated to be doing this kind of job with them. You know, so I just nodded and smiled. That day I came back, I knelt down, I told God, I said, you see, even other people are saying it, that this job doesn't fit me. Can you help me, you know, get something better? And then shockingly, I just had God speak to me. And God said to me, there's something we always say in Nigeria, that a lizard in Nigeria cannot be a crocodile in America. You know, it's a popular statement. But the Holy Spirit said it to me that day in a funny way. He said it in a reverse way. And what the Holy Spirit said to me was that a crocodile in Nigeria cannot be a lizard in South Africa. Change the way you are thinking. And from there, the Holy Spirit started speaking to me about starting my business, about, you know, thinking differently, you know, leaving the work, engaging business, you know, drive myself within the community and then grow. To cut the long story short, in a space of 3 years, I was owning a bookshop in a mall, okay? So from somebody who was just struggling to start a job to somebody who is now owning, in fact, our monthly turnover then was nothing less than 10 million naira. Then, you know, so, and it was God showing me the fact that, you know, when you build your capacity to a certain level, you will find it difficult to float, irrespective of any environment you find yourself. Irrespective of any situation you find yourself, you will find it difficult to float. I remember when we left Nigeria to UK, and in a space of 6 months, people will call me and it looks like I'm the one, even now, telling them how to live in UK, how to survive, how to get a job, how to package, because that capacity was already there. So people are poor, not necessarily because of where they find themselves, not their environment, but the level of capacity that they have built over time. So irrespective of where they find themselves, no matter the environment you put them into, they will float because that character will always sustain them. Okay, and you see, from when we looked at the reason why businesses fail in Nigeria, the reason is because many people who want to start something on their own, many people who want to make things happen on their own, don't even have the capacity, the leadership capacity to make it work on their own. So, for instance, when you are working under somebody, you come to work, you have to sign a rota. Okay, they will tell you, okay, when you come to work by 8 o'clock and you go by 5 p.m. Of course, you don't want to have a problem with your boss. You wake up in the morning, you are running. You know, you enter the bus or you drive your car, you get to work so that you can sign in on time. But you see, when you become your boss, your own boss, you no longer have to be able to do that. So you don't need to force yourself now to come to work early because you are your own boss. So even the day you feel like, I need to oversleep, then you just oversleep. Even the day you feel like, oh, I don't want to go to work today, you know, you just stay at home. Because how you know the kind of leader you will be is check your leadership when you are under someone. So for instance, if you are somebody that you wake up in the morning, you find it hard to go to work, or you wake up in the morning, you are always rushing to get to work early. You always rushing. Like you check yourself from Monday to Friday, you almost came late 4 days out of those 5 days. It will tell you that you have an issue with managing your time. Even the motivation to get to work is a problem. If somebody hands over a business to you, you will stop going to work. Or you will come by 12 and go by 4. Or sometimes when you feel like it, you go. Sometimes when you don't feel like it, you just stay at home and make call. Because you have not built that capacity to sustain success. Okay? So why it's good for an entrepreneur to look for ideas, why it's good to look for something to start, why it's good to pray and ask God for opportunity, you should be also more interested in the process. You must be interested in the person that you are becoming. God is more interested in the process. Okay, we will always say that, you know, the end justifies the means, you know, but you know, God wants the means to correspond with the end. You know, everything must align. Okay, so if you are not prepared to build the right character that is required for success, what happens is that you are going to struggle in life. And many of you are struggling because no one prepared you with the right character for success. So if I'm to say it directly, the second reason people are poor is because they lack personal leadership and management skill. No one prepared you for success. Africa is an environment that does not prepare for success. So let me give you an instance. You know, you see people, they travel abroad. It looks like they are doing well, that they are making money. And, you know, maybe they start sending money back home. They start building a house. They start buying a land. You know, people just assume, you know, things are always better abroad. But let me be honest with you. It's not necessarily that things are better abroad, but the environment is designed to make you focus on what gives you the maximum results. There's something called the 80-20 principle. So what happens is that 20% of what you do gives you 80% of your results. So when you travel abroad, the environment is designed in a way to increase that 20% to maybe 30-40 so that you focus more on what gives you result and less on what doesn't give you result. So you discover that when people travel, what they pay attention to, what they focus on, compared to when they were in Nigeria, changes immediately. Okay? So for instance, let me give you an instance. People earn more most times abroad. They might not say it. People earn more simply because maybe they do two jobs. But the question I always ask, so when you were in Nigeria, why were you not doing two jobs? Okay, you are in a cleaner in a hotel. So why are you only cleaning in one hotel? Why not find another hotel you can clean in the night? So you discover that because of your inability to put in extra hard work, extra effort to increase your capacity or to increase your finances, that is the reason why you are poor wherever you found yourself. So you see people put in time. Sometimes you see somebody is working for 12 hours in a day because they pay you based on your time. So somebody will go to work and say, okay, I'm going to work 12 to 12. Usually they will tell you, when people in abroad, when you call them, you can't get them on phone. Because you can't. Sometimes when you are working, you can't even hold your phone. You have to keep it away. You focus on working. The environment is built to produce maximum capacity. So, for instance, you see people when they travel, all of a sudden they start getting success habits. All of a sudden they start becoming, you know, emotionally stable. All of a sudden they start learning how to communicate better. All of a sudden they start learning how to exercise, to take extra course, you know, to do things that will make them more productive compared to where they were before. So it means that if someone in Nigeria, for instance, can decide to say, okay, I need to start doing workout, I need to get an extra job, you know, since I have extra time on my hands, I need to do exercise, I need to increase my skills in terms of my capacity, reduce the time I waste in non-entities and non-essential things. What happens is that I can start producing the same results, start producing the same success with the person who is in that kind of environment because I have the right focus. So when you look at it, you discover that, especially in Africa, the environment is not designed for maximum productivity. The environment is not designed to bring out the best in you. And that is why anybody who finds themselves in that environment, if you want to differentiate yourself, you must live differently. You must live differently. I remember when I was the SUG president, SUG, when I was in the university, people will always say that I'm a proud person, you know, that I don't want to associate with my fellow students, that I don't want to, you know, maybe when they are drinking, I don't want to come associate and drink with them. You know, when you have certain high standards, people will assume you to be a prideful person, okay? Because you have some certain kinds of standards that it's not as, in, you know, you can't easily associate with certain kinds of level. When people look at you, they just feel, oh, that you are prideful. I remember when I was running for election in 2023, you know, people will say, who are you to run for House of Rep? Who are you to do this? You know, you are just a prideful young man. It's the standards that drive me. Nobody knew that what I even wanted to run was governor, not even House of Rep. So assuming I declared to run for governor, I wonder what they would have said that I was. But you see, the kind of standard, the kind of books I read, the kind of things I expose myself to, make certain kinds of environments impossible for me. So when I was the SUG president, I was working. I had a job. I just want to give you an instance. As an SUG president, I had a job. I was working. I had a business. I was running an NGO. I could count like about 9 restaurants. I was working. I was the Southeast coordinator of American Corner in Enugu then. There was only one in the whole of Southeast that was in Enugu. I was the coordinator of American Corner. American Corner, I think they have a center now in UNEC. There was a time they used to have a center in Independence Layout. As a student, I was the one coordinating that center. As a student, I was going to Abuja to have meeting with American ambassador in Nigeria. So you can see the kind of, and it's like, these are full funded, just imagine as a student, these are full funded trip. I've already started entering an aeroplane. They send us the book flight. I fly from Enugu, we come to Abuja, lodge in a hotel. The following day, we go to American Embassy for a meeting. After that, we go to the house of the ambassador. We take pictures, you know, have fun and things like that. You go back, you come back to Enugu again. So the way I was thinking then was far ahead even some of my mates that I had with in school then. And that is why when you find yourself in any environment, it looks like, no, you know, people will just attribute it to favor. You know, because we live in a religious environment, there's this thing, you know, we just want to say, favor, it's favor that did this for him. It's favor that. But when they come to abroad, all of a sudden, it looks like everybody starts having favor. Because there's an environment that is created to enhance and push you to move in a more productive manner. I don't know if I'm making sense to you guys, you know. So if you begin to look at your life, evaluate your 24 hours, I would have shown you guys my calendar, you know, how my calendar is structured, you know, from every day, every week, and every year. You know, I have a specific calendar of what drives my life, what I put my time to. You know, people will tell me, you are doing a lot of things. Really, I'm doing a lot of things. If I show you what I'm doing, you'll be wondering how I'm managing. But it's because I have a calendar. I've been able to structure everything. There is time that was allotted for everything. There is time that is allotted for every single activity in my life. So you discover that your inability to manage yourself is what is keeping you poor, okay? So one of the things I want to mention is, how do you develop, before I mention some of the skills, which I know many of you here are going to be familiar with, I want to speak about certain things that will give you some mindset and attitudinal shift before I go there. One of the things I want to talk to you about is, why is it difficult to build a strong character? You know, I might finish teaching this now after this conversation. You say, yeah, what he's saying makes sense. What he's saying makes sense. I will try it out. Then you try it for 1 week and 2 weeks, and then you fall back to normal. Why does it happen to you? That's the next thing I want to share. One of the reasons why it happens to you is that your environment is stronger than your character. Your environment is stronger than your character. Successful people who have character, who have built character over time, was able to do that because they subjected themselves in an environment that supported and cultivated that character. So let me give you an instance. So when you go to, when you travel abroad, one of the things that you discover is that the system, the environment was designed to support certain kinds of character, to support and reward certain kinds of character. Okay, so what the system supports, you will see that people will naturally defer to. And when they do it over time, what happens is that it looks like it becomes part of them. Okay, so for instance, maybe if you're in Nigeria, you see people jump traffic lights. When you come to abroad, it's not that people don't want to jump traffic lights. It's not that a white man is so civilized that they can't jump traffic lights, no. But you see, there are things that already have been put in place, you know, not to reward you jumping traffic lights. So when you remember those things that have been put in place, what happens is that you would not want to jump the traffic light. And what happens is that when you don't jump the traffic light and you keep doing it, it becomes second nature. So anytime you just come to traffic and the light turns red, you just stop, because it's now second nature to you. So the system was designed to cultivate the kind of character they want in a particular environment. The same thing, you know, because people have come to understand that your environment is stronger than your character. So if you don't put the right environment in place, you won't develop the right character. You won't be able to function in the right character. So over time, because you keep finding yourself, so you want to be a billionaire, or you want to make millions, or you want to develop success, but you surround yourself with people who don't have that kind of character that you want to build, you will not be able to evolve. You will always default to whatever character that exists within your environment. So that is why when you stay, for instance, in Nigeria, there are certain things that people are going to be doing that, you know, even when you are doing the right thing, it looks like you are a fool. I don't know if it has happened to you. So you go somewhere and everybody is queuing, and you see others will jump, do what they want them to do, and you have been on that queue for 1 hour. It's just people will jump, get their own and go. Jump, get their own and go. When you sit there, it just look like a fool. It has happened to me many times. I will say, let me jump this thing, or I will sleep here today. So because the environment has a way of rewarding people who just want to cut corners, people who just want to do it. So what happens is that you find it difficult to develop the kind of character required for success. And that inability to develop that character is also what is transferred from generation to generation. So when you now look to a Western civilization, you see that because of the decisions that they have made in the past, they have built generationally model for wealth. And then when you now come to Africa, you see that there is more like a generational poverty. It's because of leadership, personal management, inability for them to be able to manage themselves over seasons. And what happens is that when character is transferred through time, it becomes a culture. Naturally, people do like that. Even when they give birth to you, you start manifesting certain kinds of tendency, because over time, that thing has become a part of that people. And that is why when you look at the scripture, I said something last year that why many of us, like, for instance, you go to church. I use my own life as an example. You know, you go to church, you go for deliverance, and then when you are done with your deliverance, you go. It looks like the problem doesn't stop. Because when the enemy goes into your life, when a demon goes into a person's life, the demon is not just there to just possess your life and make you do what you don't want to do. The demon is also there to train you. So even after years, the demon has left, the training system is still running in you. So what we do is that we also try to continue casting devil, but it doesn't work. At that point, the Bible will now say, let God change you by renewing your mind. That renewing your mind is a system of retraining you, retraining that culture, retraining that character that has been wired and has been formed to become almost like a second nature. Today, you see people personalize anger. Today, you see people personalize wrong attitude. They will tell you, that's the way I am. I was speaking to a young man who was supposed to get a job from a guy. And then he later said he's not going to get the job. I said, why are you not getting the job? He said he doesn't like the man's attitude. I said, are you trying to get a job or are you trying to look at the man's attitude? So are you going to live your whole life trying to regulate people's attitude? So while he thinks that the man is the fault, I am saying, no, you are at fault. You should actually grow to be able to regulate every attitude that comes around you. Your inability to do that will keep you poor. That's part of emotional intelligence. Being able to not just manage yourself, but to manage other people. So you see that some of the factors that control success are not necessarily your ability to maybe get a job or to get financing for your business, but the personal character required to sustain that. And that is why before God will even give anybody any level of success, whether you are a Christian or you are an unbeliever, before God will give you any level of success, He first of all puts the right training system within you before that success manifests. Let me give another example. So lately this year, of course, my year was already packed with goals, things I needed to do and things I needed to achieve. But recently, like about a month ago, I felt in my spirit there were some other things I need to get involved with. And it was affecting my sleep. It was affecting because for me to be able to meet up with the deadline, I have to, you know, cut a lot of things. So I had to cut my sleep time. I had to, you know, cut a lot of activities from my time. And one day I sat down, I was really reviewing, I was contemplating which one should I remove. Maybe I'm just overworking myself. Maybe I'm just, you know, pushing myself too hard. Luckily, I went to the news. I listened to Fox News a lot. I follow American politics. Those are the things I do in my leisure time, okay? So they were now complaining how Elon Musk recruited some young people to work with him in White House on this his Dodge presidential committee. And those guys were putting close to 80 to 120 hours per week, you know. And then they now showed interview where they were talking about Elon Musk putting in 120 hours. Elon Musk was saying that in the early days of starting his business, that he was putting 120 hours. So I remember then there was a time we heard stories where that he had a mattress in his office. So he doesn't even go home. So he sleeps in the office, eats in the office so that he will continue working. And he puts in, I calculated it and checked how many hours I was putting in. I said, oh, okay. So maybe God is speaking to me. Maybe it's not just about me removing things, but about me increasing my hours because for now it's required. Okay, it's not going to be like that forever. It's required for you to put in that effort, to put pressure on you to go that extra mile. Most times we drop things we are supposed to carry because we don't understand that it is supposed to drop. It's like somebody who wants to build a muscle. You don't build a muscle capacity by carrying the weight you are used to. You build your muscle capacity by doing a weight that will tear it. So that when it tears the muscle, what happens is that it grows, it begins to form in shape, it begins to take the design that you want. And it's the same thing with your life. Sometimes there are certain responsibilities that you want to shed that is actually needed in your life in order to tear certain kinds of capacity so that you'll be able to do things. Okay, I came into this year with an enormous goal and I was like, am I adding more? They say, yes, increase your timing, tear that capacity. It is good for now, temporarily at this early stage, especially if you are still young. At this prime time of your life should not be the time. I remember hearing Bishop Oyedepo saying that he sleeps for 4 hours. I know there are a lot of medical documentation telling you you need to sleep for 10 hours a day, you need to sleep for 7 hours. And I'm not talking about keeping awake because you want to watch a movie, but because you want to invest that time into something productive. You have a hunger. There's that energy for hard work so that you can break into that new dimension of what you are hoping to create. And then there will be a time of rest. There will be a time of consolidation. There will be a time of saying, okay, let's take it easy and then manage what we have been able to build. So that inability to put yourself in a situation or in an environment that forces you to have the right character is probably what is keeping a lot of us poor. Like I said, if you can do two jobs in when you travel to America, why can't you do two jobs in Nigeria? And that thing I find it very, very surprising is that you will see a graduate tell you, I can't work in a restaurant, a graduate like me. But then when they travel abroad, they work in a restaurant. And I say, so what's the difference? Restaurant is restaurant. So why would you find pleasure in moving around in Nigeria, begging people for money, and then you sit down in the morning from morning to night doing nothing? So that is why many times you see people who are abroad, they do two jobs, they do three jobs, and then somebody who just sits down from morning to night watching internet, buying data, and then calls you the following day and say, please, I want to do this. Please, can you give me 100,000? The guy says, no, I can't give you 100,000. I don't have it. Because he feels that while he is investing his time, you just want to while it away and then ask for help. So there are many things. When I talk to young people, I said, when I was a student, I was working. And I didn't care. I didn't mind what kind of job. As long as it gives me money to take care of my needs. It doesn't matter. If you understand how success works, you can start. If you take me to a restaurant, I always say this, I will stay in that restaurant and master everything that is done in that restaurant. Give me 1 year, 2 years, you will start hearing that they want to make me the manager of that restaurant. It's not about where you are starting from, but by your ability to master the art, grow through the art, and understand the reasoning or the science behind that area you are in. All of a sudden you become successful in it. Find people who are successful in life. You will see a lot about their character. You will see a lot about the details, the amount of hunger, the amount of passion, the amount of energy they put in what they are doing. Yesterday, I was listening to a very young lady. She's 18 years old, I think 17, 18. And she has a YouTube channel that has about 8 million subscribers, and they were asking her questions. Now, why I was puzzled is the level of dedication, thoughts, thinking that young lady puts in what she does. When she was explaining what she's doing, some of the things she's studying, the kind of technology she's doing, how she's on studying human psychology to understand what appeals to people, you know, how to look at the thumbnail, how to look at the hook, how to design it, how to structure it. He was even explaining even the design, how he arranges her logo is done in such a way that when people look at it, it's supposed to evoke certain response. And one of the things that she explained that shocked me was that she uploaded a video on YouTube, and then she noticed that from the beginning of that YouTube, at a particular point, the rate at which people are watching it reduced. She took down the video, looked at it again, and saw that there was a second in the video, that if she cut away that second, that is going to improve. And immediately she cut away that second, the views increased. There are some of the things that when we look at it, they say, ha, Beke Barbara, a white man is a wizard. No, these guys put a lot of thinking, a lot of thought, a lot of education, a lot of time in what they are doing. And you cannot pray your way into success because you are in Africa and you feel you have a bad government. Every level of success required to attain any kind of greatness, you must also have it. You must develop work ethics. You must know how to manage your time. You must know how to invest in people. You must know how to invest in yourself. Until you do those things, many of the success that you desire, you cannot have it. The other day, we are talking about goal setting. And I told you that 70 to 90% of Africans don't set goals. If you like, start today. When you meet your friend, ask the person, what's your goal? Can I see your goal book? No goal book. The people who are in our group yesterday, I was showing them my goal book from my university days. I showed them, I owned my camera, I was showing them the things I wrote before I got married, the things I wrote even when I was writing my vision to become the SUG president. I wrote it with dates in my book even before it happened. So everybody just wants to maybe wake up, pray, assume that their miracle is on the way, and then something. And then you have been doing that, it's not working. For the past 5 years, for the past 10 years, it's an opportunity for you to sit down and rethink and say, maybe I need to try another way. These things are not working the way we think it's going to work. God is not a respecter of person. I shared it with you guys the other day, and I said that pastors don't get blessed because they are favored. Pastors don't get blessed because they pray. Pastors get blessed because they are offering solution. They are offering services. While you are sleeping in your house, you see them doing all night, downloading the secrets of divine healing. You see them reading books, downloading wisdom. So when they come on church on Sunday, they preach one wisdom. Between a koji, you take your seed, you go and drop it on the altar. It's not favor. It's his ability to produce wisdom from the altar. That's why you gave your money. Or your wife is looking for fruit of the womb. You go to the man. He believes God. Prays for you. You receive healing. Tomorrow, you have pregnancy. You go and buy a car and give the pastor. It's not favor that makes the pastor rich. It's the pastor's ability to, if it's favor, go and find those ones who are not rich and check the level of quality of their sermon, the quality of their books, the quality of their church management capacity, the quality. Just check, highlight the churches that are succeeding. Check the ones that are not succeeding. You will see the pastor's management and leadership capacity and how it translates to his success. Am I saying there's nothing like favor? No. What I'm saying is that what makes favor look like favor is when you find your place in life and begin to do what you do. When you find your place in life and begin to do what you're supposed to do, something magical begins to happen around you. It looks like favor. See, the lady just caught one second in a script, just 1 second. From 100,000 views, it became millions of views. Just 1 second. So it's not like let's do video. All of us are content creator. Okay, you have uploaded it. I've been uploading it, though. It's not working. How are these people doing it? There's something. I've uploaded 100 videos. Nobody is viewing it. You don't understand the science. There's a book I'm writing now called The Science of Solving Human Problems. Those are some of the things I'm going to expand. And it's going to be a teaching I'm going to do in the future. But I want to finish the book before I do the teaching so that I can crystallize the thought effectively. There's a science behind life. That is what I'm trying to say. It's not about wishful thinking. There's a science behind life. There's a science behind everything you do. What is science? Science is simply methodology. There is a way that makes things work. So you can't just wake up and say, I want to be successful. You need to take out time and understand, what does it take? What is the requirement to be successful in this area of life? When you find that requirement and you meet it, you become successful. It's simple. So that is why I tell you that when people travel abroad, you see how the system, my first job in UK was in Amazon. I entered there, my mind became, I called my friend. I said that the Western world have built a human machine. If you see where human beings are working, with so much precision, with so much control, with so much, people will wonder, why would you order something from Amazon and you get it today? It was when I was inside the system, I saw the level of management going on. I saw the level of orchestration going on. I was like, wow. You bring down the system in Nigeria, people will fight it. Governance is not just a factor of having a good leader. But yes, when you have a good leader will know what to do. But the people will even fight the system. Imagine somebody here, after teaching this thing now, let's say Fortune builds his capacity, becomes somebody, and then goes into the government house Enugu and declares that work time is going to be from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. in the evening, that he wants to turn the GDP of Enugu to 1 trillion naira, and that everybody, you see, people will go to the street, oh, God, do you want to kill us? You want us to be working? Do you think we are cows? Because the system has not over the years trained you to be productive. So remember the first principle, that a poor person is not somebody who is without cash. A poor person is somebody who is without value. Value is what you exchange in order to have cash. So each time you see yourself that you don't have money, just remember that you don't have value that you are converting. There's a lot of messages. listen to it. There's a lot we said. So as I summarize, I'm just going to make a list. I'm just going to make a list. I won't delve deep into it. What are the key personal leadership and management skills you need to develop? First one is self-awareness. Self-awareness. When we talked about taking charge of your life last year, I think that message is there. We emphasize on some of these things. That's why I will not build deeply into it. Self-awareness. What are your strengths and weaknesses? Do you seek feedback? Periodically, I do it. I ask people, I ask them questions. What do you think about me? What are my weaknesses? What are my strengths? What am I doing better? I'm documenting those things. I taught you guys that most of us are not maximizing our weakness. Our weakness should be our tool for self-development. One of your key tools for self-development is your weaknesses. Learn to use it to your advantage. Self-awareness is very important. The second one, goal setting. Clear vision. SMART goal. SMART goal. So let me give you an instance. If I show you my diary, you will discover that I'm supposed to sleep by 10 p.m. and wake up by 4 a.m. That's my plan, okay? But for instance, yesterday I slept by 4 a.m., okay? So how did I achieve my sleep time? I didn't achieve the sleep time the way I planned it. But you see, everything I was supposed to do during the day, I was doing it in the night. So what happened was that I try, sometimes when I start working and my spirit is into the work, I can't just tell myself, okay, go and sleep because you have a plan. No, I continue with that work. I run it till I finish, exhaust myself, then I go to bed. Then when I wake up during the day, because I've done catch up with a lot of things I'm supposed to do, I can say fine time maybe during the day and sleep for 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, depending on if I have the time. Sometimes I might not have the time and it becomes like that. I will sleep for 2 hours or 3 hours on that day. The point is that have a plan. The plan can change, but make sure that whenever the plan is changing, everything that you have asked yourself you want to achieve for that day needs to be accommodated. So at the end of every day, I have key goals. So I know I have to read my Bible today. I know I have to pray. I know I have to write my book. I know I have to work because I have a full-time job. I know I have businesses, NGOs, other organizations I'm organizing I have to keep my eye on. I apportion time to it. And no matter how that day goes, I must make sure that I tick off those key priorities, my 20% that gives me 80% of results. Goal setting is very important. Self-discipline and time management. Self-discipline and time management. Many people don't prioritize. They don't manage distractions. They don't stay consistent. Are there times I've lost my track based on distractions? Yes. But whenever I go back to my vision book, whenever I go back to my drawing board, it has a way of calibrating my soul, and I go back, I start from where I stopped. That is why it's important to document these things, okay? Have an adaptable and a growth mindset, okay? Learning from your failures and continuously improving. The next one is communication skills. Communication skills. Improve in your communication. Your ability to listen, your ability to speak, to inspire other people. Clarity and influence. Develop your communication ability. The next one is decision-making and problem-solving. I'm big on that one of problem-solving. So you see, when you are going to school in Nigeria, nobody taught you critical thinking. What they taught you is theory and learning how to consume lots of information without knowing how that information works in real life. I shared an example the other day when I left university. I went to meet one of my bosses then in his office. There was something he wanted us to do. So with the InterSwitch Nigeria, they were the only payment platform in Nigeria then. So he wanted to work with InterSwitch. So we got the document of how online payment is done and all that. And then he wanted to know a particular amount that was not in the documents that InterSwitch sent to us. So he was like, if we have, okay, this amount, how much would they charge it? And we don't know. And he now said, okay, that the amount we are looking for is X. And he now wrote X on his paper. The guy is a mathematician. So he wrote X and wrote this equal to X. So we are looking for S. Osimoya, let's find S. The moment he said, let's find S, I remembered my classroom where my lecturer will always tell me to find X. And I never knew how important finding X is. You know, because nobody taught you how to apply finding X in real life. So you only saw Mars. There was no critical understanding on in what situations in your life. Let me give you guys an instance. You know, some of those things they teach us in school, and they will say that they are teaching us theory. In my workplace, sometimes when we are doing some data analysis, we will be quoting some textbook law in management meeting. We'll come, we bring graph. You see some of this graph that you will say, they will tell you N square is this one. It's used to calculate, it's used to do normal calculations in real life. It's not textbook knowledge. It's because nothing we do in Africa is scientific. That's why nobody consults those material. There's no data for anything. How many children are out of school? Nobody knows. How many families are struggling with poverty? Nobody knows. Okay, what is the probability that 3% of people who graduate from university will never get a job? And what do we? Nobody is thinking scientifically. So at the end of the day, there is no productivity in that environment. So you discover that because you have not trained to solve problem, even when you see problem, you don't know what to do. You probably just feel depressed, look for who will help you. And that is why there's that so much dependence on God. I was reading something on the post yesterday. Somebody said, why is it that when people travel abroad, they become less spiritual? The reason is because most of the things that make you dependent are no longer existing in your life. You now suddenly realize that your destiny is in your hands. And that is why if you didn't understand the role of spirituality, when you now come here, you now abandon religion completely and discover that this thing doesn't really have any place in your life. Because there's a difference between religion and spirituality. Most of us are involved in religion and we know nothing about spirituality. Every activity we do is just religious, but we have no insight about spirituality and the fact that you can talk to a spirit and the spirit can talk to you. So building relationship, building networks, accountability and integrity, continuous learning and personal development, I'll just keep it there. Emotional intelligence, there are many of them. You have to build yourself, build into yourself the capacity that is required to produce the results that you are seeking. That is how it works. So many people are poor in life simply because they lack personal leadership and management skill. Personal leadership and management skill. So I've given you guys the first two principles. Next week, we are going to continue. Our time is up. And I want to thank you guys for making our time. I hope it was worth your time. I hope you learned something today. I hope you took something out that from now to the next 5 years, when we see you, you are going to stand out in anything that you are doing. That's my intention. That's it. That's the goal of this conversation. And I also want to encourage you, there are many people who need to hear this. There are many people who need to be involved in this conversation. When you come next Tuesday, don't just come yourself. Get somebody else and say, come, let's go and listen. Come, let's go and understand, you know, values that drive success in life. That drive. Our goal is to raise transformational leaders that will transform their community and make Africa a better place. We don't have any other place to run to. We need to get it right. And that is by us as individuals first getting it right, because everything rises and falls on leadership.
Thank you for listening. Please do follow us on our social media handles on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok at Transformers Global LC, on Twitter X at TGlobalLC.